Well, I know it's Mother's Day, but I don't know if y'all know it's also National Opposite Day. Did y'all know that? It's Opposite Day. How many of y'all had Opposite Day when you were young? You know, if you said something stupid, you know, and your friends were getting on you, you just said, "Oh no, it's Opposite Day. I meant the other." It's kind of like cooties and stuff like that, you know. But today's Opposite Day because even though it's Mother's Day, if you notice the title of the sermon, I'm not preaching on motherhood or at mothers or to mothers. We're going to talk about the fatherhood of God this morning. And I know you might think that's a little bit strange, but it's always appropriate to talk about God and what an awesome father he is. And, you know, if you think about the history of humanity, you think about culture, different cultures around the world, different societies, and this goes all the way back to the beginning of time, and cultures have tried to define God. Every culture has had some sort of concept of God or a God, and typically it has to do with, they may make a God out of a tree or the sun or the moon or the stars or a human being, for that matter. We know that there have been many rulers who have tried to deify themselves and say that they were gods. And throughout most of human history, there's been a lot of confusion about if there really is a God. Well, what is he like, or who is he? And, you know, so most of the time it comes across as a supreme being or an energy force or an energy resource or just some angry tyrant. And it's just very, very impersonal. And it's not until we come to Christ that we are introduced to the concept of a personal God. Because Jesus said that he came to reveal the Father. In other words, he came to really show us what God is like. And the thing that Jesus really did is he personalized God. You know what it is to personalize something. It is to bring it up close, to bring it from far away, to bring it from distant, to bring it from... I don't even know if this is a word, but unrelatable, being unable to relate to it, and making God someone that we could relate to. And the way he did that, and the most powerful way, and the most precious way that Jesus did that, is he referred to God as Father. It's not until you get to Jesus in the New Testament that this concept of God as our Father is introduced. In the Old Testament, God is only referred to as Father a handful of times, 5 or 6 or 7 times. In the Gospels alone, God is referred to as Father 150 times. Now, we think about that. We think about the notion of God as Father, and that's not foreign to us. That's not a concept that we are unfamiliar with, because many of us have been in church enough. Perhaps you grew up in the church, you've gone to Bible school, and you've gone to Sunday school, and you've gone to all the Bible studies, and you've heard all your life that God is a Father, that God is your Father, that God is our Father. But that was a strange concept, and is a strange concept still to much of the world. As Jesus walked the face of the earth, and he talked to people about God being his Father, God being our Father, they looked at him, that was strange to them. It was a foreign concept, even to those, really, who had grown up in Judaism, what we call the Old Testament. They weren't used to the concept of God as Father. They still sort of saw God as this very distant being, a distant God, someone that certainly was worthy of awe and reverence and respect and fear and all of those things. But to think about God as Father, to think about God in personal terms, to think about God in a personal relationship was foreign even to the Hebrews of the Old Testament. They thought of God as the God of the nation, the God of the Hebrew people, but the individual Jewish man or woman or child or member of that society, they couldn't really get this concept of God as a personal God. God is a Father that I can go to with my needs and my issues and my struggles and my fears and my problems, and he'll actually welcome me and he'll actually listen to me and he actually wants me to relate to him. That was a foreign concept to them. And it's a foreign concept to most of the world today, even still. Because if you think about other religions, most of them don't see their God as a personal God. Most of them have a very ancient view, really, of who God is or what God is. And they have a very impersonal relationship with their God. They still see whatever their concept of God is as either an angry tyrant or an energy force or a higher being or a supreme being or a higher power, all those kinds of terms, but nothing really personal. But the good news is that Jesus said, no. God is not this impersonal being who's sitting way off, somewhere way up yonder above the heavens and that you really can't get to. Jesus said, no, God is, he's like a father. He is our father. And so in that, Jesus personalized God. It's very difficult to relate to an energy, isn't it? It's very difficult to relate to a power. It's very difficult to relate to something that impersonal. But God, Jesus brought God up close for us. Now, unfortunately, I know that there are many here this morning who the concept of Father doesn't bring up good memories. It doesn't bring up good images because, unfortunately, there are fathers who have been neglectful. There are fathers who have been absent. There are fathers who have been, unfortunately, even abusive. And so for some people sitting here today, your concept of Father may not be a good image. But Jesus said, God is not like a human or earthly father. God is our heavenly Father. And he's much greater. He's a different kind of father, but he's a father nonetheless. And so there is good news in this. And so that's what we want to think about this morning is what kind of father is God? Now, before we dive into what kind of father God is, let's just very quickly mention four misconceptions that people have about God. Four misconceptions that people have about God. One misconception is that many people think that God is unreasonable. They think God is like the mean father who just wants to make demands on your life. He doesn't want you to have any fun. He just wants you to be miserable. He just wants you to do and do and do and do and do, and there's really no relationship in that. But God is unreasonable. He's just demanding. He doesn't want me to have any fun in life. He just wants me to be miserable. And unfortunately, there are even some Christians or some people who say they're Christians, and that's the concept of God that they put forth, is that God is just this unreasonable, you know, angry tyrant, taskmaster, sitting off up in heaven, just saying, do this and do that and don't do that and don't have any fun. If it's fun, then it can't be right and it can't be good. And that's the kind of God he is. And so there are many people who think God is unreasonable. Then there's a misconception that many people think that God is unreliable. These are the people who are always asking the question, well, if God is so great and God is so good, well, then why does all this bad stuff happen? See, you can't depend on God. And there are people who think, well, I've had some problems and I've had some struggles in my life, and God, where are you? God, if you're such a good father, if you're just such a great God, why didn't you fix all of that? You're not very reliable. I can't count on you. There are a lot of folks who think that God is unreliable, and then there are folks who think that God is unconcerned. Well, yeah, I know. God loves the world. God's out there fixing the world, and God's out there meeting everybody's needs, and God's out there taking care of the rich and powerful, but God doesn't care about little old me. God's not concerned about where I am. God doesn't care about my issues. God doesn't care about my problems. God doesn't care about my life. These are the folks, remember the Bette Midler song from a few years ago? God is watching us. But what did it say? God is watching us from a distance. And many people see God that way. But yeah, God is real, but they don't believe that God is near, that God is here. But they just believe he's not very concerned about them. And then the last misconception is that God is unpleasable, that nothing you ever do is good enough for God, that no matter how good you are, no matter what you do, God's going to always say, well, there's more. Some of you have had that boss that no matter what you do, it's not good enough. Some of you have had that parent that no matter how good your grades were, they never were good enough. You know, if you got an 89, you should have got a 99. If you got a 99, you should have got 101 because you should have got the extra credit right. You know, and it's just never pleasable. And sometimes we in the church present God that way. Like, well, you know, you just can't ever please God. And so those are the misconceptions of God. Now, before we move on, let me tell you where those are rooted. Those misconceptions of God are rooted in something that's very common among human beings. And they are rooted in a works mentality about salvation. That's where they come from. They come from the fact that most people think, well, how do I please God? Well, I have to perform. How do you get to know God? Well, it's about doing enough good things. And so if you have a works mentality of salvation, in other words, you think it's all about what you do or what you don't do before God will love you and accept you, then you're going to struggle with those misconceptions about God your entire life. Because it's only as you come to see God as the Heavenly Father, full of grace and mercy and love that Jesus presented to the world, that you will begin to be able to say, God is a reasonable God. God is a reliable God. God is a near God. God can be pleased, not because of what I do, but because of what Jesus Himself has done for me. And so you have to be able to, one of the most difficult things to convince people of is that you've got to be able to step outside of that concept that salvation, that relationship with God, is about my works. It's about what I do. We get that because so many times we as earthly fathers base our acceptance of our children based on what they do or don't do. In other words, their performance. And God is a heavenly Father, and He doesn't do that. And so what kind of father is God? Let's answer that question. What kind of father is God? I don't have a passage that I'm going to refer to, and we're not going to take the time to refer to these verses, so you just jot these down, okay? And then you can go back and look those up as we go through this. But what kind of father is God? First of all, God's a caring father. That's one characteristic. He is a caring father. He is compassionate. He is loving. He is gracious. You really can't fully understand how much God loves you and cares about you. That's something that the human mind will never fully grasp. How much the God who created the universe, who created you and who created me, how much He really loves us. You can begin to get glimpses of that. You can begin to pick up on that a little bit. You can read the Word of God. You can be in church. And you can be introduced to that concept. But really getting your mind around that is virtually impossible. That the God of the universe loves you so much. But God is a compassionate God. Psalm 103:13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who honor Him. One of the most profound issues of human existence, one of the most profound things you have to wrestle with and settle is, does God care about me? Does God care about me? Like I said a moment ago, there are a lot of folks who, oh yeah, I believe God cares about them, or I believe God cares about you, or I believe God cares about the world. But are you convinced that God cares about you? There's someone sitting here this morning, and you're going through something, and you're wondering, God, do you care about me? God, do you know what I'm going through? I know you know what my neighbor's going through, but do you know what I'm going through? Do you know where I am? Do you care about my issue? Do you care about my problem? Do you care about my struggle? Do you care about my life? And I want you to know, God cares about you and your issue and your struggle and your life and wherever you are. God cares about you and your hurts and your stresses and your feelings. And until you settle that question, you'll never have a real personal relationship with God. You'll never have that real personal relationship that He desires. He cares about you. He says it many times. One time that it's said in the Bible is 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. He cares about all your issues. He cares about your social issues, your career issues. He cares about your health issues. He cares about your financial issues, your spiritual issues. He cares about every aspect of your life, your hopes and your dreams. He cares about all of that. He's a detail-oriented God. God doesn't just care about the big issues of your life. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said that God is so interested in you and me that He knows what? He knows the number of hairs on your head. You know what else He knows? He knows what color they originally were too. He knows. That's how much God cares about you. What was Jesus saying there? Jesus was saying God loves you enough, He cares about you enough to know the smallest, the things that you're not even concerned about. Well, you don't get concerned about them until you start to lose some of that hair, and then you get concerned about it. But He knows the most intimate details of your life. Usually when people struggle, usually when people find themselves going through difficult times, and this is especially true of Christians, what's the one thing? Oh, well, I must not love God enough. If somehow I could just love God more, and sometimes we offer that as a solution to people. Well, you know, just love God more. Just love God more. And maybe that's the problem, is you don't love God more. And I don't think that our problem is that. I think for most of us, our problem is that we don't realize how much God loves us. I think there are a lot of people who come in our church every week. There are a lot of people walking the streets of Rome and Floyd County, and the biggest issue they have is they just don't realize how much God loves them. And if they could settle that issue and they could settle that question in their heart, they would begin to have what every human being is seeking, and that is peace. God is a caring Father. God is also a consistent Father. That's the second characteristic. God is a consistent Father. You can count on God every time. God will never let you down. You may think He has sometimes, but God will never let you down. He is always dependable and trustworthy. He is always the same. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from the Father, who does not change like shifting shadows." Sometimes earthly fathers are unpredictable. Sometimes earthly fathers are sort of up and down like a roller coaster or like the waves of the sea. Sometimes earthly fathers are very inconsistent and their kids never know what to expect from them. And inconsistent fathers produce insecure children. And that's why it amazes me that there are so many insecure Christians, because we have a consistent Father, a consistent Heavenly Father, and yet we act like He's inconsistent. And there's a lot of insecurity among Christians. But if you know that God is consistent, that He's always true to His Word, that He cares about you, and that He never fails, then that brings security, and that brings peace, and that brings hope. God is a consistent Father. He's not moody. God doesn't have bad hair days. God doesn't roll out of the bed on the wrong side of the bed in the morning and just get up and He's just in an angry mood and He's just thinking, man, I just can't wait to zap somebody today. I'm angry, I'm ticked off, and I'm just ready to hurt somebody. That's not God. God doesn't do that. God's not up and down. God is consistently loving and just and true. And His consistency doesn't depend on our consistency and our dependability. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, and this is a precious verse, y'all. It says, even if we are faithless. Any of you ever been faithless? Any of you, even Christians who have walked with the Lord a long time, have you found yourself in some situations and times in life where you just felt like, man, my faith just isn't there and it's a little bit shaken? Paul says in 2 Timothy, even when we are faithless, He remains faithful. Even when your faith wavers, even when your faith struggles, even when your faith is shown to be imperfect, the Word of God says that God is faithful. When you're down, God's still up. When you're struggling, God is still victorious. Aren't you glad to know that God's consistency doesn't depend on your performance? Do you realize what a burden that is off of your shoulders and my shoulders? That we don't have to perform, that we don't have to do and not do in order for God to love us and accept us and meet us where we are. That is such a huge, huge burden off of our shoulders. Everything in the world around us is changing constantly. We live in an era where there is so much change. I mean, just think in the last 5-10 years how much change we've seen in technology and in culture and in society. All the change that we've seen. Sometimes it'll make your head spin. For those of us, you know, as you get older, you don't handle that very well. And it gets a little bit scary and you're like, wow, what next? What's going to happen next? But here's good news. God never changes. God is always the same. God is always good. God is always full of grace. God is always, always ready to forgive when you and I come to Him in confession and repentance. You will never go to God in confession and repentance that He says, you know what, that's not good enough, I'm not forgiving this time. You can always count on God to forgive and to give you freedom when you come to Him. He is consistent because He is a God of grace and mercy and love. He doesn't change. In all man-made religions, anytime man tries to make up his own God, and that's been tried throughout history and it's still being tried today, that God is always a very temperamental God. Do you remember back in maybe high school or college when you studied Roman and Greek mythology? I know most of you want to forget that. I do too, and I have forgotten most of it. But do you remember what the relationship was like between the people and that group of gods that they worshipped and that they served? They were always afraid that their gods were mad at them. Everything that happened, if it rained too much, oh, the gods must be mad at us. If it didn't rain enough, oh, the gods must be mad at us. If any kind of disaster happened, the gods must be mad at us. And these made-up gods, these man-made gods, and think about what is that? That is God in man's image. That's all that is. That is God in man's image because that's the way human beings operate. When you don't please me, I get mad at you. And if you don't please me enough, even though you might have pleased me some, but if you don't please me enough, I'm still going to get mad at you. I can't be satisfied. And that's the way most of humanity looks at their concept of God. But that's not the God we know from the New Testament. That's not the God we know from the Bible. We know a God who is consistently loving and gracious and who consistently accepts His people. And consistently receives those who turn to Him. You can depend on God. God is reliable. God is also a Father who's close. God is a Father who's close. He's available. He's there when you need Him. He's not distant. In Acts 17, when Paul is speaking to the Athenians, remember he went to Athens. And he was walking around the city. And he saw all these statues, these images they had of their gods. And he noticed that they had a whole lot of them. And one thing that stuck out to him was, you remember the story, he saw one and it just, underneath it just said, to the unknown God. So what they did is they had this image of all of their gods and then they thought, well, you know, maybe we've missed somebody. Maybe there's a God out there that we're not really, that we don't know of. So we're just going to put one up and say, to the unknown God. And Paul picked up on that. He said, I see y'all are very, very religious, spiritual people. And he said, you know, I commend you in that. That's a good thing. But I notice you've got one over here that's to this unknown God. Now, let me tell you something about that. And so he starts speaking to the Athenians. And he starts talking to them about spiritual things. And he starts where they were. And then he works it over towards where he wants them to be. And so he starts to talk to them and he begins to talk about how God created the earth and made everything and then how God is out of one man, he's making the nations, referring to Adam. And then he gets to this point in Acts chapter 17, verse 27, where he says this. He says, God did this so people would reach out for Him and find Him since He is not far from each of us. Do you realize how earth-shaking that must have been to the people listening to Paul that day? Because their concept was not of a God who is near and personal and wants to be found. They were used to gods who did nothing but play hide-and-go-seek. The gods would sit off, and they were off in the distance somewhere up on this high mountain, and nobody could go up there, and they didn't really want to be bothered by people, and all they wanted to do is, when the people messed up, just, you know, slap them upside the head one time. And Paul says, no, that's not who God is. God wants you to know Him. God's not hiding. God wants you to find Him. God wants you to have a relationship with Him, so much so that God's not sitting off somewhere above and beyond the heavens, but God is here. God inhabits the earth. God wants to live within you, His people. That's a totally foreign concept to the folks that God was talking about. What's the stereotype of a father? Well, the stereotypical father is a man who's distant and he's uninvolved, and he just wants to go to work and earn his paycheck, and he wants to come home and sit down and watch the ball game, or he wants to go down in his man cave and do his own thing and just sort of unavailable to his family. But that's not the way God is. God's not an uninvolved, unavailable father. God is very near, and God is very close, and God wants you to find Him. Here's some good news about God. God is never too busy for you. God is never too busy for you. Now, there are times when your spouse is too busy for you. There are times when your parents are too busy for you. There are times when your kids are too busy for you. But God is never too busy for you. Anytime you turn to Him, anytime you call on Him, He will respond. He's there. You're never going to go to God and say, God, I need you. And He's going to go, oh, wait a minute, I'm taking care of some bigger problems over here. He's never going to do that. Anytime you need God, God is available. God loves to meet your needs. So many people don't believe that God wants to meet their needs. They think He's like too many earthly fathers who really don't care if their kids' needs get met or not. There are those kinds of fathers out there. We know that. But God loves to meet your needs. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7. He says, talking about human beings, human fathers, He said, if you, human fathers, human beings, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? When you have a real need in your life and you go to God with it, you know what God's going to do? He's going to meet that need. God's not going to leave you out in the cold. God's not going to leave you unprovided for. God is going to meet your need. I mean, just think, parents, about how much you love to meet the needs of your children. Just think about that. It brings you joy. It brings you satisfaction. There's nothing you would rather do. Now just magnify that, multiply that by a factor of 100 or 1,000 and even more. And that's how much God loves to meet our needs. Here's another one. God is sympathetic to your hurts. God is sympathetic to your hurts. When you take your hurts to God, God will heal. You know, I think about when I was a kid. You don't know what they tell you to do now when you get a burn on your skin, like you touch a hot stove or get burned by an iron? Run cold water over it, right? That makes sense to me. Does that make sense to y'all? You know what my grandmother told me to do? Rub butter on it. I was like, what is it, a piece of toast or something like that? You know, I mean, what is that? I guess it was because it's cold, but, you know, barbecue sauce is cold too. I could have poured that on there. And I can think of coaches that I had when I was playing football. Somebody got hurt on our football practice field. You know, the coach had no sympathy whatsoever for somebody who got hurt. If you were laying over here with a broken leg or something, you know what he would say? All right, move it over. And all we would do is we'd go over to the other side of the field and leave that guy laying there. We'd just go over there and start practicing over there. No sympathy whatsoever. But God's not like that. If you've got a hurt, if your life is broken, when you go to God, you know what God's going to do? God's going to love on you. God's going to gather you up in His arms. God's going to comfort you. God's going to heal you. God's going to fix your brokenness. You say, well, my brokenness isn't fixed. Well, maybe you haven't really taken it to God. maybe you haven't really entrusted it to God. Because God is the kind of God that when you go to Him with your hurts and your struggles and your issues, God is going to bring healing. God is going to bring restoration. God is going to bring freedom, because that's what God loves to do. That's His specialty. God is sympathetic to your hurts. God is a Father who is close and available. And then the last characteristic, what kind of Father is God? God is a competent Father. God is a competent Father. Nothing is beyond God's ability to handle. There's nothing. There's nothing that you're facing in your life. There's nothing that you're trying to deal with that's too big for God. Anything that you're dealing with, God can handle. You remember what the angel said to Mary. As the angel had gone to Mary and said, "Now, Mary, there's something very significant about to happen in your life. You're going to become pregnant with a child, and this child is of the Holy Spirit. This is not going to be a normal child." And the angel's telling Mary what's going to happen about the birth of Jesus. And then comes that statement right at the end as the angel is finishing speaking to Mary. And what does the angel say? Y'all know it. It's Luke 1:37. "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. If God can bring salvation for the entire world through a baby born in a stable, who lived a sinless, perfect life, was sacrificed for our sins, and who lives today, then God can deal with whatever's going on in your life. God is perfectly capable of doing that. He is a competent Father. It's amazing what kids think their fathers can do. Kids think their fathers can fix anything. Kids think their fathers can do anything. Kids think their fathers know anything. Kids think their fathers can afford anything. I mean, I wish I had the money that my children think I have. I'd be set for life. And, you know, kids just think, well, yeah, mom and dad, they can afford that. They have no concept that you can't necessarily afford every little thing that you want. And that's what kids think. And then, you know, when you're growing up, you think dad is Superman. But then as you get older, you begin to realize, well, maybe old dad doesn't. Maybe he doesn't know everything. Maybe his resources and his wisdom and his knowledge are limited. Maybe sometimes he was just guessing. Maybe sometimes he was giving it his best shot. And then you get to that point where you go, well, no, he's just as clueless as he seems. But God's not that way. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for Him. As a matter of fact, what does the Bible tell us? It tells us that God can do so much more than you and I could ever dream up. God can do so much more than you and I could ever ask Him to do. Ephesians 3 says, "God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." You know where we apply that verse most of the time? We apply it in missions. God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Because, you know, Billy's has our group, and they go to Peru, and they want to start a church, and, you know, things like that. And God is able to do so much more than we could ever ask. And we've seen God do some of those things. But that verse doesn't just apply in missions. That verse applies in your life and in my life on an individual basis. God can do so much more in your life than you could ever dream of. But you just got to ask Him. And you got to turn to Him in faith and in trust and in obedience. Whatever your biggest need is, God can meet it. Whatever your most difficult struggle is, God is stronger than that. Whatever your toughest problem is that you're facing, God knows the answer. God has the solution. If you will simply turn to Him and ask Him and look to Him, He is a Father who is competent to meet your needs. God can do anything. You know, we say that, and it's so flippant, and we don't even really think about that, because The truth of the matter is that in modern society, in modern American society, we have become so self-sufficient that most of us don't even really think we need God anymore. Or at least we live like it anyway. And so the fact that God can do anything, we've lost sight of that. Because there are many parts of this world where, you know what they need God to do? They need God to give them water. Because if they don't get some water, they're going to die of thirst. You know, in many parts of this world, they need God to do the impossible, as in give them food. There's not a person sitting here this morning who doesn't already know, not just that you're going to eat something in a few minutes when we dismiss, but you know you're going to eat something next Friday too. So we've sort of become so self-sufficient, we've lost this concept that God can do anything. But God can. God can do whatever you need Him to do. God can fix whatever you need Him to fix. God can overcome whatever you need Him to overcome, because He's a God who cares. He's a God who's close. He's a God who's consistent. And He's a God who is competent. The question is He your Father? Now, everybody here sitting here this morning will say, well, yeah, God's my Father. And for most of you, that's true because you're a Christian. But if you're not a Christian, God is not your Father. God is your Maker, but He is not your Father. Okay? Because a Father is, that's a personal relationship. Everybody on the face of the earth is a creation of God, but not everybody on the face of the earth is a child of God. How do you step over from that, I'm a creation of God, to I'm a child of God? Here's how. It's very simple. God boiled it down to one thing. He said, there is one gate, there is one way to know Him as Father, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He said, if you will place your faith and your trust and say, I'm going to make Christ the foundation of my life, then you know me as Father. That's how it happens. You see, because when you meet Christ and you come to God through Christ, that personalizes God. And until you come through Christ, God is a very impersonal, just way off in the distance sort of force. You may have the utmost respect for God. You may love to come to church and all of those things. But until you step through the door that is Christ, you don't know this Father that we've talked about. But that's the relationship that He wants with you. He wants you to know Him, not just as Creator, but as Father. You can know God as Creator without knowing Jesus, but you cannot know Him as Father. You cannot know Him as one who cares for you and is close to you and is consistent with you and who can do anything in your life until you meet Him through Christ. And folks, that's our invitation to you this morning, that you would have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Will you stand right where you are? We'll pray.